So, your rich uncle died, and he left everything to you, and he was loaded. So after a couple of trips to the dealerships, checking out what's there, and a few test drives, this is you, looking good in your new convertible, sports car no less. Well, on one of those beautiful fall days like we've been having, you decide you need to take your new powerhouse and go up and carve up some of those twisty mountain roads. You've heard of a pretty awesome road at the Tennessee-North Carolina border called the Tail of the Dragon. It is Highway 129 that crosses the mountain range at Deal's Gap. And it is a piece of work, this road is. In just 11 miles, there are 318, count them, 318 curves. Now that's what your car was made for, and you in it, let me tell you. Steep drop-offs, hairpin turns, beautiful overlooks, and plenty of surprises. You come ripping up around one of those risky twists at speed, only to find a fresh rock slide since the last guy that came through here. It's the perfect road for a powerful sports car like yours, a fitting test of your natural skills at racing and your inherent driving prowess. Yes. Various parts of this road have telling names. Cattail Straight, The Slide, Rocket Corner, The Whip, Copperhead Corner, Gravity Cavity, Parsons Curve, Crossroads of Time, and my favorite, Pearly Gates. There is something along this 11-mile Dragon's Tail Road called the Tree of Shame, and it is bits and pieces and parts of those who did not make it around the course. You see the tires and wheels and motorcycle gas tanks and so forth. What's not to like about that? Well, off you go, and finally you arrive at the Tail of the Dragon, and you really open her up. But barreling down that first straightaway, all of a sudden you see it, there it is, this bright yellow diamond sign that says, dangerous curve ahead. So you jam on the brakes and fishtail hard and come into that corner, and you make it through that one, accelerate right back on there, get it going again. And just as you're barely out of that corner and into the next, here comes another sign that says, slow down. So you jam those brakes on again. And not much farther after another sign that says, road narrows. And then another one, rough road. Warning sign after warning sign after warning sign, including some you've never even seen before. And you know, these warning signs are starting to get on your nerves. After all, I came here to let her rip. And then it begins to dawn on you, partly because you see all the little white crosses on the sides of the road. It begins to dawn on you that maybe these warning signs are there for your good. They're not here to spoil your fun. They're here to get you safely to your destination. To help you, as they say in Florida, arrive alive. Well, in today's study, we're continuing with the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. You know what we find? Yeah, warning signs. Warning signs. Five of them, in fact, five warning signs that Jesus took the time to firmly drive into the ground, not because he's a killjoy, but because he wants you to arrive alive. He did it to get you safely to your destination. He knows about the dangerous cliffs. He knows about those treacherous descents, the all-too-frequent head-on collisions that happen in this road that you are driving on. He knows that the chances are very real that you or I will take a corner too fast, spiritually speaking, and will careen off the road and crash and burn. Because the danger is so real, He has driven these five warning signs firmly into the ground. Because the hazards are so great, he has positioned them at eye level so that we can see them at the points of greatest danger. Five warning signs to avert disaster in your life and in my life. Five warning signs. What are these warning signs? Let's ask the Lord to show us. Let's pray first, shall we? Lord, you know the road that we take. You know the dangers, the slippery corners, the hidden hazards. You know the heavy casualties that this road has exacted on those who have come before us. So we come before you now and we sit before you as learners. We open your word. We invite you to speak, to teach us. We humble ourselves before you and we confess that our knowledge is inadequate, that our skills, our driving skills on this road of life are insufficient to make this journey safely. Teach us, Lord. And Father in heaven, you know that I am incapable, inadequate to represent you as your spokesperson. My weakness is ever before me. Nevertheless, you say that your strength is made complete in weakness. And so I offer you my weakness. More than that, I choose to rejoice in my weakness this morning so that your strength can be made evident. Would you send your power on us this morning in spite of me? I pray it in your name, Lord. Amen. So Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 15 is our text this morning. If you were in Sunday school, it follows right on the words that we were studying there. Matthew 7, 15 begins with beware. How do we use the word beware? It means there's a clear and present danger that we must take action to avoid a catastrophe. That's what it is. So our first warning is right there in that opening word, beware. There is danger. It's present. It's clear. It's present. It's real. It will get a hold of you. You need to take action to avoid the danger. The first warning sign is danger. And what is that danger? False prophets ahead. Beware of the false prophets. And what is a prophet? A prophet is a spokesperson for God. He's commissioned by God and he has a message from God. Ever since the fall of man, God has wanted to communicate with men, calling them back to himself. Some prophets were given revelations from God to speak words that God wanted, new words that God wanted spoken. Other prophets spoke boldly to men and women about words, applying the words that had already been given to men from God. However, Satan, who defies God at every turn, counterfeits God's message, doesn't he? To deceive people and keep them from turning to God and heeding God's message, he sends his messengers, and his messengers are false prophets. Pseudo is the word, pseudo prophets. They are of their father, the devil, and who is he? He is that one who was a liar from the beginning. Therefore, their message is nothing but a lie. It's false. It's a sham. It's a scam. It's a lie because their leader is a liar. They are false prophets. We have in the Bible terms like false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, even false brethren. What are they all doing? They're claiming a commission from God. They're claiming a message from God, but it is pseudo. It is false. That's what Jesus said, beware of the false prophets, the fakers, the liars, the imposters. Let's keep going. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. And there's our second warning. Deception is at hand. They come to you like harmless, fluffy, soft, cuddly animals. Defenseless, they come to you, lacking in intelligence. And the false prophets dress just like that. He comes harmless. He comes as no threat to your safety and security. But appearances, as we know, can be deceiving. In fact, in this case, the appearance is meant to be deceiving. Deception is at hand. Those are not sheep. Do you remember the words in the song from the late Keith Green? A wolf can look so good, especially dressed in the right clothes, the woolly clothes. Outwardly, they're wearing sheep's clothing, but it's a deception. Jude, one of the disciples, tells us they creep in unawares. They creep in unnoticed. Those aren't sheep. They just look like sheep. Paul says, and may I read it to you, such men are false apostles. What's an apostle? One sent from God. All right, so similar, very similar to a false prophet, spokesperson for God. He said, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Is it intentional? Absolutely. Are they good, well-meaning, misguided folks who just are a little bit off of base? Well, there are men and women who are duped into following that deception. But the deception at its origination point is not at all misguided. It is not at all well-meaning. It is absolutely intentional. Their father of lies is leading them, always leading them. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. There is the third warning. Devouring is going on. Ravenous wolves. A wolf turned loose on sheep is an image we can readily visualize, and it's not a pretty one. But he said, ravenous wolves. And what is ravenous? Extremely hungry, famished, voracious, intensely eager for gratification, greedy for food. These are not cuddly sheep, are they? Their intention is single. It is to devour. And how do they do this? How do they come in and devour the sheep? Well, these words that Jesus gave to us in starting in verse 15, beware of the false prophets, he didn't just think, now, what shall I talk about next? No, they come on the heels of the verses right immediately before them, 13 and 14. What do verses 13 and 14 say? Well, we better look. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it. Who's been saying that? Who's been saying differently than that? The religious leaders of the day. They are saying this, and Jesus says, no, no, no. Enter by the narrow way. He has been at those religious leaders for quite a bit in our sermon on the in his Sermon on the Mount. And so here he knows that the people listening to him are like every one of us at a crossroads. A decision, a life decision has to be made. And those religious leaders, the imposters, those devouring ravenous wolves, are seeking to direct them one way at a crossroads. And he says, don't go there. Everyone is at a crossroads. Shall I go to the right or shall I go to the left? And the way is broad over here and it's narrow over here. This one leads to heaven. No, did I get that wrong? Which way did I say? This is broad. This leads to destruction. This is narrow. It leads to heaven. But actually the sign on both roads says to heaven, but one's a lie and one's the truth. And he's saying, beware of the false prophets who love to devour you. They are shoving you onto that wide road. Don't go on that wide road. devouring, ravenous wolves. The false prophet is attempting to devour the sheep with his lies. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. A fourth warning. Discern. You'll know them by their fruits. Let's read the rest of that. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Discern is the next warning sign. It is right in front of us as we come into that, barreling into that corner. Discern, you will know them by their fruits. If a tree produces bad fruit, it is a bad tree. If it is producing good fruit, it's a good tree. And then he says, a good tree cannot produce bad. Not that they were just having a bad day. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor vice versa. So what does bad fruit producing tree look like? And what does this whole thing, you'll know them by their fruits, mean? What are the fruits? Well, fruit is what is hanging on the tree, right? It's what the tree produces. So he's saying you're going to know what the person is. You're going to know what kind of tree it is by what produces. You're going to know what the person is by what he produces. What does a person who is a false prophet produce? May I suggest a minimum of three areas to discern as you are trying to obey this warning sign. Discern. Look at the fruit. You're going to need to know what that tree produces, what that person produces. The first of those three areas to discern is what they do. Do they walk the talk? Is their life a shambles? Do they own their own failures? How about their sins? You remember when King David sinned grievously. He came to the reality, a realization of that sin, and he said, against you, Lord, you only have I sinned. He owned his sin. He faced that reality. A false prophet? Have you seen how false prophets often will just sideline those failures? Have you seen that? They'll sweep it under the rug. They'll work to make sure the media doesn't give it attention. And when it does, they'll spin it somehow or another. Now, we expect that on Capitol Hill where people don't know or follow the Lord. But of a person who says he is a follower of the Lord, if they do that, you have to say that is a serious warning sign. You ask, what do they do? What are they doing? What are they producing? What's coming out of that life? A false prophet is one who is living a lie. What you see is not what you get. There's a sense of cover-up that goes with that person. When you see those kinds of things, you say, I discern that what I see is different from what I hear. They are not walking the way they talk. And what do they say? What do they teach is what I mean by that. This is the next area of discernment. What do they say? What do they teach? How does it line up with the scriptures? When you see something that doesn't quite match and you go to speak to them, do you get a quick answer that kind of downplays it or downplays you for having asked it? I know that I want you always to be able to speak to me, and I know I speak for the others who speak here at Woodland Hills. We want to be accountable to the Word of God and to your approach to us in that regard. Now, there are ways to do that, and there are not so good ways to do that. Usually after a preacher has poured his soul out in a message, you don't probably get the best success by coming up to him right after there and pounding on him. But if it's that or nothing, I'll take that. But come to us and talk to us, seriously. We're human, like you. And we have committed to being prophets, not false prophets, but prophets of the revealed truth that God has given us in his word. And we are accountable to you, to the word, and to the Lord. But what do they say? What do they teach? How does it line up with the Bible? But often I think it's, what don't they say? What do they leave out? Is there an offense of the cross in their message? Is there love but not wrath from God? Is there heaven but not hell? Is there a call to obedience? You remember those words Jesus said, take up his cross daily. That didn't sound easy and fun, did it? Do you have that message in the person that you are wondering, are they a false prophet? Is there repentance over sin? Or do we call it by different words? Challenges. I met a pastor here in Columbia once who really was fudging with his, that word there is not a good word. Long story, I'll just try to summarize it. It was a shared facility, and their mail came to our facility. And guess what? Their bill collectors started coming to our facility looking for them. Why weren't they paying their bills? So finally, I and the other elders got together, and we asked for a meeting with that pastor and a couple of his leaders. Guess what? It was all about the challenges, all about this season, all about, but there was never any ownership of the fact that there was never a response to the gentle, it was a polite word of confrontation. That was a warning sign to me. And I never saw the man humble himself when he was, in other occasions as well, when he was wrong, when he abused someone else's, even when he made his a team wait for him for 45 minutes, he'd show up and he'd never even apologize. He'd just go right on. That was a warning sign to me. I don't know. It sure didn't sound good to me. What don't they say? Is there judgment in their message? Is there God's judgment in their message? Or is it all about love? Is it all a comforting, positive message? Those are warning signs. You are to discern, I am to discern whether or not that person is accurate. That person may be a false prophet. 1 John 4:1. Would you mind turning that to 1 John 4:1 with me? John himself would have been standing there this day when Jesus gave this message, listening to it, and he echoes these very words in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many, what? False prophets, echoing Jesus' warning. Beware of the false prophets, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And he goes on. Test the spirits, because there are many false prophets. Let me read to you what one commentator wrote. Let me tell you what a false prophet looks like. First of all, they're pleasant and they're nice. They smile a lot. They seem positive. They seem affirming. They seem Christian. They hang around with Christians. They appear to be thoroughly Christian. They talk Christian talk. They seem to say the right things. They talk about Jesus, they talk about heaven and Christianity, but not so much, if ever, about sin and hell and mourning and meekness and humility and brokenness. They talk about how to be happy, how to be healed, how to prosper. They're pleasant. They talk about how God wants you to have an abundance. And that is true. It's not what they say. Sometimes it's what they don't say. They're pleasant. They're nice. They seem thoroughly Christian. You know, sometimes we think that the false prophets are just the Jim Joneses and the David Koreshes. But there are other times when the false prophets write New York Times bestsellers. And some of those New York Times bestsellers appear on the bookshelves of your local Christian bookstore. And they are paving the Broadway to destruction. More than that, they are shoving people onto the Broadway of destruction because they don't say all of the message that God, that Jesus himself said to us. Beware of these false prophets. Use the discernment God gave you. You know, the early church had the same problem right around the turn of the first century, 100 AD or so. They came up with a document, a teaching that they distributed, and it was had a lot of things, but one of them was teaching on how to deal with prophets. It said this: welcome a true prophet. Hold him in high honor. Have him into your home. Keep him for a day or two. But if he stays a third day, he's a false prophet. If he asks for anything but bread, he's a false prophet. If he asks for money, he is a false prophet. Now, that wasn't scripture. That was an interpretation that the early church said, we have got to deal with these people who go around mooching on people, staying with them indefinitely, eating all their food, asking for their money, and saying they're doing it in the name of heaven. They're false prophets. Use the discernment that God gave you. And there's a fifth warning sign. We've come to that one in verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is the destiny of a false prophet? It is certain destruction. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And he goes on to say in the next couple of verses, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, who would that be? Someone who claims to follow the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Oh, there's that word, prophet. Didn't we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Who would that be? That would be someone who is speaking as a spokesman for God, claiming to have a message from God, a commission from God, a false prophet. Many will say in that day, Lord, did we not do this and this and this? And then I will declare to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Their end. The terminal end of a false prophet is certain destruction. That is their destiny. And they are taking as many people with them as they possibly can. And they are taking Bible-believing, church-going, tithing, praying Christians, if they can. Those are the people often who are in their sights. Have you ever been amazed? You meet someone who says he's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, and you find out they were raised in a solid evangelical church. How did that happen? This is how it happened. A false prophet got in. A false prophet got in the works and began to expound that false teaching. What did Paul say to the leaders at the church in Ephesus as he was with them for the very last time? May I read it for you? I know that after my departure, Savage wolves, there's those wolves. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And I know what you're thinking already. But wait a minute, aren't they saved? And from among your own selves, he's talking to the elders, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things, and what do? To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Is there a check in your heart about some teaching that you're evaluating? Or back it up one. Are you evaluating the teaching that you're receiving? And what are the different avenues that teaching might come to you? Is it a book you're reading? That's where we hear a lot of it. Is it some preacher on TV or the radio or the internet, blogs? Man, they're just all over the place. Are you reading with discernment? Because their end, their destiny is certain destruction. Don't play around with false teaching. The danger to each of us is horribly real. Horribly real. When I was a teenager, I announced to my dad one day that I wanted to go attend a different church. This particular church had been caught up in some error, and in the name of examining and learning, and I think my heart was sincere enough, I wanted to go over there and check it out. And my dad wisely said no. And I thought, how could you do that, Dad? I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to. There are things that you know better than to put yourself into. Isn't that what discernment would tell you? Jesus didn't say anything but beware of the false prophets. Elsewhere in the New Testament, they just say, reject them, get away from them, over and over again. False teaching is nothing to be trifled with. Is there a check in your heart about some teaching? Get some godly counsel about it. It may be that the Lord is warning you, and you need someone to come alongside of you and say, yes, this is where it's missing. You are right. The Spirit of God was probably talking to you, giving you insight. Listen, Jesus loved you enough to go to the cross for your sins, to purchase you back from death. He loved you enough to give you these five warning signs to protect what he repurchased. And this road, friends, has way more than 318 dangerous curves. This is your life, and it has a bearing on eternity. This is not just a breezy ride in your cool sports car. You and I must pay attention to the warning signs that Jesus gave us. Now do your part. Pray for me that I'll do my part. I'll pray for you that you do your part. Beware of the false prophets. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us enough to give us a word that frankly we wouldn't have chosen. If we were thinking about what we might want to hear today, this isn't the word that I would have chosen. But you knew we needed to hear it. And you said it that day, and you made sure it got written down. And you had us in mind as some of the people that needed to hear this important word about false teachers. And my friends here at Woodland Hills, and me, we are apparently in much more danger than we realize from the false prophets Otherwise, you wouldn't have given it such weight. So we choose now to receive that word from you. We ask you to help us walk circumspectly, to walk with discernment, to see when they are actually wolves dressed in woolly clothes, saying one thing, doing another, saying one thing, leaving something important out. Help us, Lord. Help us. We want to make it all the way to you, having done as you said, given very careful, circumspect attention to your statement. Beware of the false prophets. Give us more grace to that end. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.